is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
4 minutes after 12, Mystery Hour, completely forgot. Goodness me, so busy on the show today. Your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. If you don't know how it works, you're in for a treat. If you do know how it works, then you already know that you're in for a treat. It means, because I forgot to mention that it was coming up, have I mentioned it at all today? I don't think I've mentioned it at all today. I haven't even plugged the board game. Yeah, I shall be making up for that in the course of the next 55 minutes. I can, oh yes, I can assure you. Too busy plugging the books. 0345 6060973 is the number you need if you have a question that needs an answer, or indeed if you hear anybody else ask a question to which you know the answer. And, I mean, you really can ask about anything under the sun. If it's silly, don't be shy. If it's serious, we can cope with that as well. And if you ring in with an answer, all I need to know is how you know the thing you know. You're not allowed to look anything up. That's pretty much the only rule. And because I've been so amateurish in my what's called pushing ahead in radio programming circles, because I've been so poor at pushing ahead today, you have actually got a better chance of getting through for about the next 30 seconds than you would on any Thursday since the dawn of time, or at least the dawn of Mystery Hour. 0345 6060973 is the number you need. You're not allowed to look anything up. You're not allowed to Google anything. I would just remind you of that. Take a little moment to reflect on how lovely today's show has been. Brenda in Belfast mentioning Jamie Oliver shortly before Jamie Oliver came on the show. And then I forget who it was that referenced Blackadder. Blackadder goes forth in particular in the context of deference and forelock tugging in the ruling class, and then along comes the co-writer of Blackadder Goes Forth, Ben Elton himself, on the programme. I love it when stuff like that. It's never planned, not on this show. God forbid, quite the opposite. But I love it when stuff like that happens. It just seems to... You can only do it live as well. Same with Brenda in Belfast at the end of that lovely phone call where we were getting on so famously, saying, I don't agree with you about much. I don't agree with you about everything. Just proves we're not making it up as we go along. 12.06 is the time. Shall we crack on with Mystery Out? Remember that the best contribution of the week, as adjudged by me, wins a copy of the new Mystery Hour board game. It still qualifies as new. It's only been out for about a couple of months. We're moving now towards 9th of December, so you're all right for another week or so. But don't forget, if you want it to arrive in time for Christmas, you probably need to get your skates on at some point in the next week or so. Stocks have been replenished, I'm delighted to tell you. Mysteryhour.co.uk is the site where you can order your copy direct. It's also, of course, available on Amazon. And in the new year, it will be available in some of your household name retailers. But get in there early. Become a trendsetter. Become an opinion former. Introduce your family and friends to the joys of Mystery Hour, even if they've got no clue who the gurning idiot on the box is. The game inside is absolutely brilliant, and you can get hold of your own copy, mysteryhour.co.uk, or you can roll the dice. And there's no dice in the game. I'm using that as a figure of speech. You can roll the dice this hour, not order your own copy, but instead get through onto the programme and stake your claim to the best contribution of the day, in which case you will be in receipt of a brand spanking new free box full of joy by return of post. And the full terms and conditions for that prize-winning opportunity are at lbc.co.uk. 12.07 is the time. The radio version of Mystery Hour is now underway. John's in Purley. John, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Go on.
Why do we cross our legs?
Sometimes because we need a wee.
Sometimes, yes. Yeah. And sometimes because we need a little sort of place to rest our book or our mobile. But the rest sometimes
of the time, it feels nice. Are you a leg crosser? Because not everybody is a leg crosser.
I am too. I had a friend who his legs get all twisted up like he's a...
He does a double cross. He does the knee, and then he does the ankles as well.
Yes. Double cross. No, that is so he must really need the toilet.
Or there is something psychological going on. I don't know. It's a lovely question, that. Is there a reason for leg crossing apart from the obvious? Sometimes, I don't know whether you ever get this, you know when you're sitting on the tube or the train, particularly the tube because of the way the seats are arranged, and there's a fellow with his legs so far apart, you could park an oil tanker between his knees. I always feel a bit self-conscious if I'm sitting there with my legs crossed. I think, is he more manly than me? Is he a macho man? Am I looking a bit emasculated by sitting here with my book resting on my folded knees? And then I look at him again and think, nah, I'm cool with this. He looks like an absolute goat.
Yeah. Strange. I can assure you, James, you're macho.
Thank you, Josh. I shall take that to the... She's supposed to say so macho, aren't you, to quote Sunita?
So
thank you, Sunita. I mean, John, it's very kind of you. We will find out. Why do we cross our legs? 12:09 is the time. Megan is in Lipetsk in Russia. Blimey, you've come a long way. Megan, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
Why is it called shipping if you do it in a car, but it's called cargo when you do it on a boat?
So you have cargo on a boat. How old are you, Megan, by the way?
I'm 12.
Oh, well, welcome. It's definitely called cargo when you put it on a boat, but is it called shipping when you put it in a car? Oh, you mean
yes,
a van? You mean if you're getting it, like if you order something online, like a Mystery Hour board game?
Like if you order off Amazon, you get it like shipping.
Yeah. And it's not coming by ship. It's coming by motor vehicle.
Yes, it is.
I put the question on the board, but I don't know if anyone's going to know the answer to that. I think that might be close to a riddle rather than a mystery. I've never noticed it before. I don't think cargo refers to cars, does it?
Well, I actually think it does.
Do you? Oh, okay. You sound cleverer than me, so I'm probably going to let you win on that one. We will find out for you. What made you wonder about this, Megan?
Well, I was talking to my dad about it in the car to see when the Amazon package was arriving.
Yes.
And then he said it's going to get shipped by some kind of December.
And how can it be shipped if it's in a car when it gets cargoed when it's in a ship? It's a lovely, lovely question. Thank you, Megan. I shall do my very, very best to get you an answer. How's life in Lipetsk at the moment? What's the weather like?
It is horrible. It is raining. There is slush everywhere instead of snow.
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that. I hope things pick up soon, certainly in time for Christmas. 11 minutes after 12 is the time. Why do we call it cargo when it's on a ship and call it shipping when it's in a car or a van or a lorry? It's a brilliant question. I can't believe we've never had it before. Anna is in Horsham. Anna, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on, Anna.
Playing bingo. Last night.
Yes, well, down at the bingo hall, or were you just playing it online or something like that?
No, a friend of mine does a brilliant online
lockdown
version, and I cleared the board three times, which was a bit embarrassing.
Yes.
Just wondering why the numbers only go up to 90.
As opposed to...
And no further. Well, why stop at 90? Why not make it an even 100? Or whatever you want to make it.
Yeah. I'm just thinking. I'm not being rude. I'm not ignoring you. I'm just thinking in case there's quite an obvious answer. Sometimes they occur to me because I've got the adrenalised thrill of being live on the radio, you see. So it means my brain's working a little bit faster than it would be if you asked me this question in the pub. I got nothing. It definitely only... Are you sure? It only goes... I mean, in all bingos, not just in the bingo you play online. If you went down the Mecca. Is it still the Mecca?
Playing bingo for 35 years.
You sound far too young. You sound far too young to have been playing bingo for 35 years. What a ridiculous!
Yeah, but I started at 4, James.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. I nearly got lynched once at the bingo in Norwich. You know, I went to the I think it was the Mecca in Norwich, and we were filming something for at risk of endorsing my Alan Partridge credentials beyond all doubt. We were filming something for my regional Anglia TV Norwich-based chat show, A Night with O'Brien. And I thought, because it was telly, I thought they'd be really excited to be on camera. But I tell you what, you interfere with women of a certain age doing bingo and you take your life in your hands, Anna. Vicious they were. Vicious and I think probably violent if I didn't have a crew with me.
Yeah, that's why I do it from home.
I don't blame you. Is it dobbers? Do you have your own dobbers or do you do it differently when you're doing it from home? Is it a dobber? I think it was a dobber. A dobber or a dibber?
It depends where I am.
If I'm
on a cruise and doing it, I'd buy all the dobbers going.
Look at that. Right, why does bingo only go up to 90? I imagine it might just be, why not? It's just convention, but I imagine there's a reason. It's just currently eluding me. Anna, thank you very much indeed. John's in Buckhurst Hill. John, question or answer?
Well, question, James.
Carry on, John.
I don't think you're going to get an answer, to be honest.
Oh, all right.
How many children does Boris Johnson have?
You're a very naughty man. Yes.
It's in two parts. How many children does Boris Johnson have?
Yes.
And is it a record for a sitting prime minister?
Well, I don't normally allow two-part questions, but you couldn't ask the second part without the first part, could you? I don't know. I have to choose my words very carefully here, but I don't know that we can go definitive on the answer to this question because of legal matters. I could be wrong, but I could be right. We know he went to court to try and keep the existence of one child secret. It's not beyond the realms of possibility that he has successfully been to court to keep the existence of other children secret. I do not know. So what...
He could possibly keep the identity of the other child secret, but we're talking about quantity, not quality.
Yes. In the absence of a definitive answer to the number, we could say which prime minister had the most children, couldn't we?
But you couldn't know which
prime minister with the existence of children on the record, which British prime, he might still be in the lead with the ones that we know about. So he's got two with the current Mrs. Johnson. He's got one with a woman called Helen, who was an art dealer. He's got three, is it, with his last wife? Or four?
I haven't got a clue, mate.
I'll tell you what, if he hadn't gone to Eton, he'd have been on Jeremy Kyle, wouldn't he, with a track record like that? Funny how it works. Funny how it plays out. You're on. You're on the board. Thank you, John. You're a very, very naughty man. It's 12:15.
This is LBC.
This Christmas, why not give someone a new National Lottery scratch card? Prizes of up to £1 million could be won in an instant. That can't happen with socks. Socks will never win anyone £1 million, no matter how hard you scratch them. Forget socks and go with a new scratch card from the National Lottery. A small gift with big possibilities. Search Dream Big, Play Small. Please gift responsibly. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
It is 19 minutes after 12. Could be a massive Ray Liotta moment today if the Prime Minister rings in himself to answer the question of how many children he now has. That would be a special, special little radio history in the making. If you're listening, Prime Minister Johnson, that is an opportunity to at least, score some points this week. Why do bingo balls only go up to the number 90? Why do we call it shipping when it's done by road? Road is the word I want, isn't it? Shipping is done by road, but if it's done by ship, it's a cargo. And why do we cross our legs? I quite like that question. 19 minutes after 12 is the time. Ricky is in Enfield. Ricky, question or answer?
Just answer for you, James. Answer for you.
Carry on.
I'm a bingo caller for 40 years, and I work for Mecca, so thanks for plugging us, James.
You're really very welcome. How's business? How's business?
Hello, James. Truthfully,
yeah.
Not recovered from the pandemic, probably.
Oh, sorry,
we haven't got our numbers back, but we're doing well.
Haven't got your numbers back.
You know what we need at Mecca Wood Green? We need a couple of you presenters to come over one night because we do charity work for local carers in North
lovely.
London.
I'll have a word with Steve Allen. I don't know that I'd be their cup of tea.
You're a brilliant caller, but you've had a taste of those women trying to kill you.
You're not wrong, mate. You're not wrong. Once bitten, twice shy. I'm not letting anywhere near my daubers. Anyway.
I'm surprised. The reason why you can't go over 90 numbers
yes.
is because of permutation. So you buy six books, James, and then when I call, you've got that number on your six. If you went over 90, it would run out of a thing called permutation, and you get double numbers. So you go heads up and down looking for double numbers. But bingo now, James, we have a thing where you have a laptop, and it's all done for you, and the computer will let you know when you want one number. And then when it shows you what you want, say, example, 47, and I say 47,
yeah.
the customer then calls. So you've not only got your books and your dubs now, James, you've got little laptops.
Oh, okay.
Where you can run 90 lots of sixes
wow.
off of the maxes in Wood Green. So it really has come forward.
So,
we serve meals now, James. We have entertainment. This Saturday night in Wood Green, girls, we have the Mecca Boys, which is strippers.
Pardon?
If you fancy a good night out this Saturday in Maplewood Green, get down to our club in Wood Green.
How many times have you said the words Wood Green in the course of this conversation?
James, I need to help
it's,
my
It's
club.
Pretty close to legs 11, isn't it, Rick?
And I really appreciate that you give us a plug as well. But so getting back to the real answer, James,
yes.
It can only be 90 numbers, otherwise it'll be too complicated. It would run out of permutation and it would
but
be...
I don't quite understand, because if you had 19 upside down, it would be 61, so...
Yes, well...
So why 90? Why does it stop at 90?
Because if you went 91, you've got 15 numbers per ticket. That would take it to 16 numbers, which is the... We don't have balls anymore, by the way.
No.
They went out.
You do when the strippers turn up, do you? Or do they keep their pants on?
No comment.
Do they get their dobbers out, Ricky? Or is it more of a family affair?
James, you're on the programme here. We mustn't get involved in dobbers. It really is a delicate subject. But, Jay, please come and see us one night in Wood Green. We'd love a bit of help. We do collections for the carers.
Fantastic.
We do charity work, and it's a great night.
You know,
don't forget, James, £50,000 every night
for the jackpot
on the national game in Mecca Wood Green.
Other Meccas are available. We should have. But you've obviously you've got to look after your own backyard. Wood Green. Mecca Wood Green.
Really
Saturday night. What are they called? The Mecca Boys.
The Mecca Boys. Like the Dream Boys.
Are they really like the Dream Boys?
That's a girl.
I just have a view of them being not quite as muscly as the Dream Boys or the Chippendales. I don't know. I don't want to do the lads a disservice, but I mean.
Give us a plug. We need your help, mate.
I'll be turning into a branch of Argos. Mecca Wood Green. Get yourself down to Mecca Wood Green. Look out for Ricky. Do you wear a shiny jacket? Do you wear a special? Have you got an outfit for the?
I just wear a suit now.
Very
I used
smart.
To wear a Mecca uniform. I wear a nice suit now, and I've been in the business 42 years. I've seen the good times, bad times,
We're struggling a bit. So if you fancy a night at the bingo, get yourself down there sooner rather than later, particularly if you are in the Wood Green area. And if you like a bit of cheeky entertainment, then the Mecca Boys are going to be in Wood Green on Saturday night. Ricky, you're a star. Have a round of applause on me. It's not quite a Ray Liotta because there are not as many bingo callers as there used to be around the place, but there are still quite a few. Melvin is in Ladbroke Grove. Melvin, question or answer?
Hi, James. Question.
Carry on,
so,
Melvin.
I've got two bikes.
Yeah.
Most of them have the same tyres, and these two bikes in particular, same tyres, same in the tubes.
Yeah.
I keep one inside the house, one outside the house.
Yeah.
One inside the house, the tyres deflate probably within 3 weeks.
Right.
One outside the house, the tyres stay inflated for months, and I can't work out why.
Well, you can work out. There's only one possible reason it could be.
What's that?
It's the temperature, isn't it?
Yeah, but what is it about the temperature?
Yeah, that's the real question. So you should have phrased it better, because I could take a round of applause now. I know, because I'd have to be able to explain it. Obviously, they deflate quicker when it's warmer because of pressure. It's pressure, isn't it? Pressure, Melvin.
Pressure.
Well, it's a relationship between pressure and heat and molecules, isn't it? Molecules. I like it.
I feel like you're close.
Have you swapped the bikes around to double check your theory?
Yeah.
Oh, you have. All right.
Okay.
Be careful, won't you? Because I mean, I don't know whether you've got top dollar bikes or not. But a mate of ours, who's sort of semi-professional cyclist, just got robbed, and it was a bang up job. They only came for the bikes. They must have sort of tracked him and followed him around to know. And I think someone in Richmond Park recently got.
Yeah.
Like a really expensive bike, Nick. So do be careful, won't you?
Yeah, well, that's one reason why one's outside and one's inside.
I was going to say, yeah. So why does the one inside deflate quicker than the one outside? Melvin's bike. So I have to keep notes now because there's a prize available. So it's quite what I write down. Boris Johnson's kids and Melvin's bikes are the last two questions, if you can answer either of those. How many bikes have you got, Melvin?
Six. Sorry. No, that's not true. I've got four bikes, but I've got six sets of wheels.
Okay. It's back to Boris Johnson's children now, isn't it? So that's four that were born in wedlock and two sets of wheels. Let's go now. 26 minutes after 12. John has led me astray. Melvin, thank you. John asked the question about Johnson, of course. Ross is in Thurrock. Ross, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Yes, mate.
what is the next human evolutionary trait that we will see?
How the hell do I know?
So we're always
I'm good, mate.
Small little things.
I'm good, but I'm not good. Andy's auntie might be listening. Andy's tweeted this morning to say that she's been listening for years. She can even remember my children being born. And she says, even my auntie, who voted for Johnson's government, has turned against the Prime Minister. She said, that James O'Brien is right. He's always said this stuff about Boris. I've listened to him for years, but I always thought Boris was great. I even remember when James's daughters were born, and she's. But I'm not that flipping good. I can't what the next evolutionary trait is. I don't think. I mean, I'll put it on the board, but I don't think there's any way of knowing, is there?
Well, there might be some signs.
Bigger lungs
that will know.
Bigger
maybe,
lungs,
or something evolving around technology as we've become more lazy.
Well, also medicine. So things that would probably have evolved to improve haven't needed to, because medicine now... Because I always think, Ross, it's funny that you ask this, actually, because it's a bit, oddly enough, it's a bit of a pet subject of mine. Are you all right? What's the alarm in the background? I don't want to distract you.
That's a pedestrian crossing.
Is it a pedestrian crossing? We had a smoke alarm yesterday. I hope she's put a battery in it. Seriously, I was worried about her after the show. I think that probably, and I could be wrong, but evolutionarily speaking, our teeth are an absolute skipfire. Our teeth are ridiculous. By now, we should have, like, solid plates in our mouth that can mash up stuff and chew. Have you ever had a bad toothache? Your wisdom teeth coming through the back? I mean, teeth are an absolute disaster zone. So if it wasn't for antibiotics and penicillin and dentistry, I wonder whether we would have evolved to have, like, two massive teeth rather than loads of little ones.
Or they might start growing through as titanium.
Yeah, so or bone or something that doesn't... you're not going to be able to grow titanium in your mouth, Ross. Stop being silly. But they wouldn't be susceptible to rotting and agony and pain. I'm going to put it on the board, but if we get an answer, I'll give you the money myself.
Thank you,
Ross. Actually, that reminds me, we're going to see Les Dennis tomorrow night in HMS Pinafore at the Opera. It's supposed to be absolutely brilliant. And Les, of course, was a guest on a recent episode, last week's episode of Full Disclosure, Bill Bailey this week, which is also brilliant. I've plugged everything today, haven't I? Book number one is 99p on Kindle. The Mystery Hour podcast is available at Mystery Hour. The Mystery Hour ball game is available at mysteryhour.co.uk. The Full Disclosure podcast featuring Bill Bailey this week, Les Dennis last week, is an absolute humdinger. Sue Perkins tomorrow. That's a really lovely conversation. I love Sue Perkins. I also have another book out. It's called How Not to Be Wrong, The Art of Changing Your Mind, which astonishingly explains precisely how the British public school system creates people who behave in the way that we have spent the whole week talking about Boris Johnson and his mates behaving in. It really does. And I'm not being cocky, because I used to suffer from some of the symptoms of that condition myself until relatively recently, as Andy's auntie, who's been listening to the show since it started, would probably be able to attest. Crikey. And that's taken us up to 5:30. So the next evolutionary step, two bikes, Melvin's bikes, Johnson's children, we've done the bingo, shipping and cargo, and why do we cross our legs? It's coming up to 12:30. If you can answer any of those, or indeed if you have a question of your own, then the number you need remains 0345 60 60 973. Time now for the very latest news headlines with Tim Humphrey.
You could wingsuit off a skyscraper in Seoul into a firefight.
What a time to be alive!
Or you could wingsuit off a skyscraper in Seoul into a firefight in a tornado.
What a time to be alive!
Battlefield 2042. Available now.
This is LBC Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. Call 0345 60 60 973.
Stealing jokes from Twitter is a very long-standing tradition on this programme. Cage O'Connor. Oh, this is very clever. I was always upset that my parents didn't keep a copy of the newspaper from the day that I was born. I suspect that Boris Johnson's new baby won't be getting one either. That's an extremely good point. And Dara O'Brien makes a joke about Allegra Stratton's leaving drinks. He wonders where they are, which I was going to rip off shamelessly by saying, I've got a clock off early today. I can't remember, did I tell you I've got a clock off early today? I'm going to Allegra Stratton's leaving drinks. But I didn't quite have the brass neck to pass that off as my own. Ash is in Fleetwood. Back to Mystery Hour. Ash, question or answer?
I have an answer for you, James.
Top man, go on.
It's to do with cargo and shipping.
Yes.
Yes. So, cargo comes from cargar. Spanish, to load.
Oh, well
it
done.
Probably has a Latin root, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Almost certainly.
Is.
No, that's a, that, there you go. What about shipping?
So shipping is to do with any contract of carriage. So it comes, it would have first properly done as the Hague-Visby laws.
Right.
Which set up carriage specifically by sea.
And then it extended because, into doing more on land.
Yeah, it just extends
just
into
became,
coming onto land.
So if it gets loaded onto a ship, it is cargo. And if it gets shipped, so shipping is a verb and cargo is a noun, that's part of it as well. So you could ship cargo, but shipping has become a noun.
Based upon the contracts of carriage, yes.
Based upon the contracts of carriage. That's a lovely answer, actually. What are your qualifications?
You. I'm a Merchant Navy Chief Officer, and then I became a lecturer in Merchant Navy Cargo and Navigation at Fleetwood Nautical College.
How many lecturers are there at Fleetwood Nautical College?
About 10 to 15.
10 to 15. And how many specialise in your area of speciality?
Two or three.
And I also said that this question would almost certainly not get an answer, didn't I? And here we have a lecturer a former chief officer in the Merchant Navy providing a definitive answer with the qualifications of being a lecturer at Fleet Nautical College. Yeah, mate, Ash, have a round of applause first.
Thank you very much.
And it was Megan that asked the question all the way from Lipetsk in Russia, and I did not think we'd be getting one of these, Megan, on the horizon. I hope you're as excited by it as I am.
I'm Ray Liotta, and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. If you build it,
not bad for a first call.
That's not bad at all for a first call. Well played, Ash. Amazing performances. Scenes in the studio today. 12:36 is the time. I love that. Helen's in Haywards Heath. Helen, question or answer?
It's a question.
Yes.
Now, where did the design for the treble and the bass clef come from in music? Who honestly thought that why the treble clef and the bass clef?
Why are you so... I mean, you sound as if you're quite annoyed by this.
Well, I've just been writing some music for somebody, and
they've been quite complicated. They should be
quite difficult.
Yeah. But I mean, what would you have done instead, though? I mean, it's got to be uniquely recognisable, hasn't it?
Yes, but okay. So P means pianissimo, and that's universally understood.
Doesn't it mean piano? PP is pianissimo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes.
That's
yes, it
right.
is.
Yeah. Just showing off.
But I'm sorry if I sound miffed. It's not that
you
easy.
You do sound
to
a bit miffed, mate. I'm not going to lie to you. No, I don't mind. I mean, it's all good being miffed. It's my job. But I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by the level of miffedness. So, if you are transcribing music by hand, it's a right old palaver, isn't it?
I haven't done it for years. And well, I was doing we'll it find for a friend that. For a Christmas present.
Oh, my goodness, where did this come from? What a lovely present. Well done for doing that, for the present. I'll find out for you. Where did the treble and the bass clef first appear? Where did they come from?
Who thought of that?
It's a lovely question. It's on the board. Thank you, Helen. What music? I don't want to spoil the present or anything like that in case your friend is listening, but what are you doing for them if you feel free to share?
No, I play piano.
Yeah.
And I've got a friend who's just learning, and I said, you know what, as a present, I'll just write you some easy notes
I see.
To start off with.
Okay, nice. Well, yeah, that is nice. That is nice. I mean, you could have just gone to the shops.
I know, but it's not as personalised.
That's very true. Well, so what are you giving them? A bit. I mean, what are we thinking? What works at that early level?
Well, apart from Wheels on the Bus.
That's nice. We like that. Chopsticks. I know. No, you're on.
No, I'm just writing them some, in case they are listening, I'm just writing them some very easy things.
Oh, what a great friend you are. Everyone learning the piano needs a friend like Helen. Let's find out where the treble and the bass clef came from, because frankly, that palaver is unjustifiable. Thank you, Helen. David's in Wallington. David, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on.
The tyre question.
Oh, marvellous. Well, go on then. Fill your boots.
Yeah, I keep on waiting for you to ask questions.
It's so funny. I interrupt people and everyone complains, and then I pause to let people speak, and then everyone complains about that as well. It's ridiculous. The crosses I have to bear. David, over to you.
You're basically right. It's about... Yeah. It, as the temperature cools, then the molecules in the air get a little bit less energetic, so they can't penetrate through the walls of the tire. So all the inner tubes and tires, they're slightly porous to air.
Yes.
Or to gas molecules. And as the tires have got more energy, then they tend to penetrate through the walls a little bit quicker. And that's why sometimes cars, if you've got a tire pressure monitoring system, when the temperature falls, it tells you you've got an alert. It tells you that your tires are sort of a bit low pressure. And then in the spring, when it sort of warms up again, then that goes away.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's basically temperature.
Qualifications?
I actually own and run a company called Tire Industry Research.
Shut up!
Really, yeah.
Oh, come off it. I'd had a terrible thought before that the fella, Ash, he said, I'm a lecturer at the Nautical College. I thought, yeah, of course you are, mate. But he seemed very plausible, and unfortunately, so do you. You run a business called Tire Industry Research.
I really do.
And you phone in to ask her a question about tires.
I've been waiting for years, mate.
Well, we've got to do it. Have the round of applause first. Honestly, they're like bloody
Thank
buses. They're like buses, these.
I'm Ray Liotta, and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. If you
That's
build
awesome.
It.
Thank you very much indeed.
No, thank you very much indeed. That's a beautiful answer. I mean, ridiculously beautiful. Fantastic. I mean, how much research do you have to do? Surely, I suppose tyre technology is always developing, is it?
Oh, no, it's going very fast. And yeah. What they're trying to do now is improve the sustainability of these things. So they're growing FSC, sustainable rubber out in Thailand and elsewhere.
Of course they are. Well, yeah, see, I just slid in that little question at the end to triple-check your credentials. That's just superb. Could be the answer to Ross's question as well about the next evolutionary stage. It's a Philip Pullman book, isn't there, where there's like an alternative universe where humans have got wheels. Noel's in Islington. Noel, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Carry on.
A few days ago, I heard somebody on LBC said that Boris Johnson had 7 children. So
you can't believe everything you hear on this radio station, mate. Honestly,
he'd have eight.
As of today, but they're the ones we know about. So I'm not taking
that's the ones we know about.
Who knows how many?
Then on the Prime Minister, the record is second Earl Grey, 17, and he had them from his wife and mistresses.
17 children. Do not tell Johnson. He'll think it's a challenge.
Yeah. Johnson still have still have some time to go.
What are your qualifications?
I just like history. I do this. I'm a Bachelor of Science in Policy Studies, and I follow history.
Okay, I'm going to give you the round of applause for the Earl Grey answer. There we go.
Can I ask you a question?
No,
you've
got to ring in next week. Is it a question just for me, or is it a question for Mystery Hour?
Mystery Hour.
No, you can't, mate. You've got to abide by the rules. You can buy a board game, but you can't get. Come back. Is that your smoke alarm in the background?
No.
Wait.
Okay. It's a kid out there screaming or something.
No.
The kid in the courtyard.
No. What was that? That's not a smoke alarm.
That's our phone.
Okay. I'm sure I heard it. Unless I could be going mad, of course, live on the radio.
Okay, have a good day.
He's trying to get off before I bust him for having a smoke alarm that's running out of battery. Does your smoke alarm need a new battery?
No.
Did anyone else hear that? Is there a smoke alarm in the room where you're calling from?
No.
You said that very quickly. Have a look around.
No, I'm in my bedroom where I'm calling from. There's no smoke alarm in there.
Okay, I'm sure I could hear. What was that noise there? What was that squeak then?
Probably a bird.
I think I was born yesterday, Noel. Look out for Noel when he rings back next week with his question. I want to make sure that he's fixed that smoke alarm. I'm going on a mission like this. I should be on commission from the fire service. 12:43 is the time. Treble and bass clef, evolutionary stages, Boris Johnson's children, we've done that. Bingo, we've done that. Shipping, we've done that. Why do we cross our legs? Bikes, we've done that. We're kicking with gas, aren't we? Ryan's in Redditch. Ryan, question or answer?
Hiya, James. I've got a question.
Carry on, Ryan.
Why are cowboys called cowboys when they ride horses?
Oh, mate.
They should be called horse boys.
I mean, it is quite. When I tell you, you might feel a bit embarrassed by how obvious it is.
Okay, go on.
What did cowboys do?
shoot guns and
yeah, you see, I knew you were going to say that. No, the cowboys were responsible for driving huge herds of cattle across the Wild West from one ranch to another for pasture.
Oh, wow.
And stuff like that. So they were literally cow herders on horses.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's I did not know that.
Well, you do now, and it's a round of applause for me. Thank you, mate. Top 45 is the time.
Every tackle. Every through ball. Every shot. And every goal. Powered by Hypermotion technology, FIFA 22 plays, looks and sounds better than ever. FIFA 22 on PlayStation 5. Powered by football. Play now.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
It's 12:48. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. We're struggling with why do we cross our legs? Which is odd, really, because the more you think about it, the more interesting a question it becomes. We want to know about the origins of the treble and the bass clef, because they're a right old palaver. The next evolutionary trait that humanity might develop. I don't think you can answer that definitively, but I shall leave it on the board, because I'm nice like that. And I think that's it. That's all I've got left. It's been a great week. There's two rays as well, and a genuine... I usually guarantee, didn't I, back in the day... I used to guarantee a laugh-out-loud moment. If you didn't get your last laugh-out-loud moment from the last lad in Redditch, the Cowboys or Horse Boys, then there is nothing I can do about it. I'm crying laughing out loud about that cowboy question. That has truly made my day. Please thank him for that, as I was feeling a little bit down until I burst out laughing at that one. That just made me spray tea out of my nostrils, James. Thank you. Awesome. James O'Brien, this is the funniest hour of your show ever. Thank you for making my day. And on it goes. While I'm referencing text, I just say quickly to Rob War, I read your text in full, Rob, and thank you, mate. That really means a lot to me. But you will have discovered by now, given that this is the first time you've listened to the show, that I am an incredibly modest human being, so I won't be reading out your incredibly kind text in full. 12:50 is the time. Daniel's in Worcester. Daniel, question or answer?
Hello, James. Just before I say that, I think you're an absolute consummate professional.
Well, thank you.
The way you just took that, the chap that said how many children has Boris Johnson got in your stride was absolutely amazing. I just wonder whether your heart was in your mouth at the time.
I don't think there's any legal issue, even if he'd said 20 children. But yeah, I mean, yeah. Obviously one has to... One has to look to one's... thank you. I know exactly,
well done,
but
anyway.
I was more worried about his smoke alarm by the end of that conversation. He seemed to be in denial about it, Daniel, but thank you.
Well, and I was going to pretend to be Boris, but my impression wouldn't have been good enough, because the amount of Ray Liotta's you've given out today, I thought...
Two for two. Oh, fantastic.
Anyway, back to the evolution. I mean, it can't be definitive, no. I don't think, because we're probably always evolving. It just takes so long.
Mm.
But I was a dentist for about 12 years, and I remember them sort of hammering into us that the size of the jaws over, you know, centuries and centuries have got smaller and smaller. And I think it will probably continue, you know, because we're not eating the sort of foods that cavemen used to have and all the rest of it. So, you know, the more sort of pap that we eat... you don't need the sort of strength in the jaws and the size of the jaws. And so that's probably why you need orthodontists, you know, to take teeth out to make space and then realign them and get them all.
I think you're right. Although dogs haven't, I mean, dogs probably have, even more than humans now, their diet is going to be much less, you know, than it ever was. And so, I mean, it would take millennia, wouldn't it, for any meaningful evolutionary change.
It would take a long time. And maybe the size of the brains. But obviously not of prime ministers, but the size of the brain.
It's quite an odd period of time for which to be a dentist. I mean, there's a lot of training involved in being a dentist.
Oh, yeah, well, unfortunately, my eyesight went
a bit.
Oh,
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's a bit dodgy if you sit in the chair and I'm going, who's there?
It's not going to fill you with confidence, is it?
Yeah, well, I wanted to be an airline pilot, so probably...
Just as well. Oh, bless you. Have a round of applause on me, Daniel. Thank you very much. I think you're probably right. I don't know why. I also feel that the mouth is the area that is most... susceptible to potential improvement, but hey-ho. Javi is in Worcester Park. Javi, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on.
You legend, I just wanted to say that.
Stop it now. Someone starts, everyone joins in, and I get all blooming modest and humble. Thank you, and embarrassed, but you're very kind. What have we got?
So my 12 5-year-old has asked me to ring in and ask you, what status matter is fire?
As in animal, vegetable or mineral? Or
no, what? As in solid liquid gas.
Sorry. It's been a long day. It's 12:53. Solid liquid or gas? Well, it's solid and gas, isn't it? Isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, well, you mean the flames themselves are gas, and it's the solid that's burning, so it's solid and gas. And possibly even a little bit of liquid, if it's giving off liquid. Let me start again and sound more confident in the spirit of Boris Johnson. Solid and gas. Solid, it's world-beating, solid and gas, and obviously in the case of some exothermic reactions that involve the emission of fluid, then liquid as well.
Do you think we could maybe put it on the board?
Yeah, all right.
Please?
Yeah, fine. Okay. It's 12:53. I'm looking at the clock. What's your 12-year-old called?
Bilal.
And is Bilal not going to accept that? You think he's quite a hard taskmaster?
I don't think. He's quite scientifically wired, so he wouldn't accept that.
That makes one of us. So, yeah, very wise, Bilal. I shall do my best. What state of matter is fire? I think I might accidentally be right, but I too wouldn't accept that in a month of Sundays. Thank you, Javi. Kaylee is in Colchester. Question or answer, Kaylee?
I've got an answer, James.
Carry on.
It's the answer to the treble clef and bass clef question.
Oh, good.
So it actually goes back to medieval periods where a lot of music was controlled by the church and a lot of it was vocal music. So there are four clefs. You've got treble, alto, tenor and bass, and they correspond to the different voices that used to sing in churches in medieval times.
Okay.
But the position of the clef actually indicates the notes that they represent. So they used to be, there's now five lines on a stave in music. There used to be four, and it used to wrap around, the clef would wrap around the note that would indicate which clef it is. So a treble clef is also known as a G clef, and it wraps around the line that indicates the note G.
But why is it designed like it is?
Because it looks a little bit like a G in medieval times. So the clef has changed over time.
Yeah. So it's an old-fashioned G.
Yeah, essentially. And then your alto clefs and tenor clefs, they're C clefs. So they look a little bit like a C. And your bass clef is an F. It indicates, it wraps around the line for F, and it looks like an F.
Qualifications?
I've got a music degree. I did a module in medieval notation where I learned about the different clefs, and I'm a qualified music teacher.
Flipping out, that'll do. Yeah, nicely done. Nicely done, Kaylee. And you're sick to death of Marillion jokes as well. We can add that to the list.
Yeah, I was actually named after the song as well.
Were you really? Oh, well, then you're not sick to death of Marillion jokes. And do you know, if it wasn't a music question, I wouldn't have mentioned that. It's a beautiful song and it's a beautiful name.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a round of applause on me.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Lovely stuff. 12:55 is the time. Arabella is in Ilminster. Arabella, question or answer?
I think I've got an answer on your leg crossing.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
It's a two-part answer. Ooh. For ladies, we got brought up that way. We were told when we were children, cross your legs because that's the only polite way to be.
Because people might see your knickers otherwise.
Exactly.
It's the simple explanation of it. Yeah, okay, that works.
And for the chap mentioned that he had a friend who wrapped his legs around twice.
Yes, a double bubble.
Yes, when I was a teacher, I did a course on the way the brain works.
Yes.
And it said that if the two halves of the brain are not working completely properly together, then you will see children who have their legs wrapped around each other.
Okay.
And we used to see that in class. We used to see certain children whose legs used to wrap around each other. And I'm not quite sure why. I think it's something to do with security, stability. That was a sign of the two halves of the brain not working,
not being
quite tuned in together.
No, I like that a lot. But I mean, what we've missed out is the normal male leg crosser.
Well, I'm assuming that they've been probably brought up in a similar way to the ladies.
I went to an all boys school. We were never told to cross our legs.
I don't know then.
You've got a round of applause because you've provided us with two out of the three constituencies of leg crossers, the female and then the psychologically interesting male, but you haven't provided us with the bog standard male leg crosser, have you?
No.
No, that's true.
And it just feels nice. I mean, I am a bog standard male leg crosser. I cross my legs usually when I'm in the studio. Sometimes because I need a wee, but often just because it just feels a bit better. It feels comfortable. I don't know, like it. And then when you're on the tube and you see some bloke with his legs like miles apart,
yeah,
you just think, I don't want to look like him. He looks ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Absolutely ridiculous. You think, what was he playing? Qualifications, you did a course?
I did a course when I was teaching, yeah.
That'll do. Thank you, Arabella. Well, that was the one I was worried about. If Peter and Hilton can pull this off, then we're going to have cleared the board completely. Question or answer, Peter?
It's an answer, James.
Go on, then.
So the very good question on what state of matter is a fire...
You've got 30 seconds. Sorry to hurry you. Let's
right,
go.
OK, you were kind of right. It is partly solid or gas, but actually there's a fourth state of matter called plasma.
Is there really?
And plasma is...
Bilal's not stupid, Peter. Bilal will know if you're making this up, mate. He might only be 12, but he's as bright as a button.
It's a very good question. So plasma is when a material gets superheated and electrons get stripped from it, so it essentially becomes ionised. So solids start with a fire or a liquid, which gets superheated and ions get stripped from it, electrons get stripped from it, and the fire hence becomes plasma.
That's a beautiful answer. It's a beautiful answer. Qualifications?
Masters in chemistry, and my MSc project was plasma catalysis.
Whoa, get in. Round of applause. You know, if it hadn't been such a profligate week, there may have been a Ray Liotta on the cards there, but I can't go doshing them out in threes and fours. That's it. Thank you, Peter. I think I'm going to give the prize this week. I mean, lots of people made me laugh, but I'm going to give it to Kaylee because I just thought that was a lovely answer, and B, my fairly weak Marillion joke turning out to be the reason why she is named Kaylee just sort of tickled me. So thank you, Kaylee, and congratulations. The full terms and conditions for the Mystery Hour board game giveaway are at lbc.co.uk. And if you feel you've missed out this week, great news, you can buy your own at mysteryhour.co.uk. That's it from me for another day. We'll do it again tomorrow from 10. Here's Sheila Fogg.